Hello and welcome to the Second to None podcast. This is Blaine Gilmer with my co-host Tavares King, and we are coming to you on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. And of course, we're a Believe Podcast Network show, the show on the Believe Podcast Network that brings you everything and all things SEC football related. And Tavares, we're coming off another unveiling of the college football rankings. You're representing the CFP there this morning. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, Tavares got his college football playoff shirt on. No big real change. Still got two SEC teams leading the way there, Tavares, with Georgia and Alabama at 1-2.
Yeah, nothing too much has changed since last week. Obviously, Georgia out front leading the way. Alabama still hanging on to that two spot. And then everybody else is where they are. But yeah, man, it's an exciting time. We coming to a close. Had to bring this thing out this morning because it's about that time.
It is. It's coming to the stretch run here. You know, football in November is where a lot of people are defined, right? When you played at Georgia, there were many games that either were going to make or break your guys' time, leading up to SEC championship games and all that kind of stuff. And we are going to be previewing especially one game. There's a lot of cupcake games this week. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of teams playing FCS schools, like Georgia's playing Charleston Southern. I think there's some. I think there's some teams playing like Tennessee State and, you know, Pharmaceutical Tech and all these other, you know, little school. Who knows what's going on over there? But, they got to make their paper too. You know what I'm saying? They got to get some money coming in there to that program. That funds like 50% of their budget half the time. So we'll see what happens in those games, giving those guys an experience to play in a big college stadium. But today we are going to be previewing three games that are intriguing to us, which is Arkansas traveling to Alabama as a 20.5 point underdog with a 58 point over under. Auburn traveling to South Carolina as a 7.5 point favorite, 44.5 over under. They're predicting a rock fight in that one, TK. And then Florida, minus their, you know, troubles against Samford, they're still an 8.5 point favorite against Missouri with a over under of exactly 69. So Vegas with a little humor there, in my opinion, the over under right at 69 there. So, TK, before we get in individually all these games, do you have any just overarching, you know, thoughts of this week in SEC?
Yeah, another crazy week in the West. You see Arkansas dropped to 21, so that's cool. I think that they got a little battle on their hands, and I think Bama's got a battle on their hands, as we'll talk about a little later. But the West has Mississippi State's got a game that's big, so I think the West has a fun week ahead.
Yeah. The West is always interesting. SEC West, you know, you got Bo Nix now out for the year, TJ Finley taking over. The reason that we're highlighting this Florida-Missouri game is because if Florida were to lose this game, TK, it could be curtains for Dan Mullen over there, all she wrote over there. So Dan Mullen's kind of in do or die mode, I feel like.
We keep saying that like every week. Like he keep giving them opportunity. I think he want to leave, bro. He keep giving them opportunities to be like, yo, here's the door.
He may want to leave. And at this point, there may be a Vegas odd over there on it, TK, where you could go check it out. And if there is, you could probably find it on Bet Online, because Bet Online is your place for all your basketball and football action this season. And they have a new website, guys, that's going to make it easier for you to find all of your props, your odds, your lines, everything that you could want. So head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELEAV50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. Like I said, basketball, Steph Curry, you probably get props on how many points Steph's going to drop every night. The man's playing some of the best basketball of his career. football. Last night, I believe there was some action going on. See, who knows? You can get all kinds of action over there on Bet Online. NHL, boxing, UFC, all the way to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available in the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. And TK, like I said, there'll be a bunch of cupcake games early, so we're not gonna hit those. You know, they like to put those at 12 o'clock. That kind of starts off the day. They're gonna go ahead and get those out of the way early.
Yeah, don't nobody really want to see that. You can't put that at prime time.
Exactly.
Don't see a stomping.
No doubt. But speaking of prime time, the CBS 3:30 game, the game of the week, is Arkansas, the Razorbacks, 7-3. They've risen up to number 21 in the college football rankings just 2 years after the debacle that was the Chad Morris era there in Arkansas. Sam Pittman has this thing rolling. Pitt Boss is going to be taking the Razorbacks into Tuscaloosa to take on Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. They are a 20.5-point underdog. The Razorbacks are to the Tide with an over-under of 58. And like I said, it's 3:30 on CBS, 3:30 Eastern. So, TK, when you see 20.5 right off the bat, what are your thoughts on, Georgia did beat Arkansas 37-0. The CFP has Georgia at 1, Alabama at 2. So, you know, if people are just looking at, they don't follow the games closely and they're just kind of looking at numbers, that 20.5 may make sense right off the bat. But what are your thoughts on it?
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how you feel about it, the 20.5, but it doesn't make sense to me because, one, if you've been watching, Alabama's defense isn't the Alabama defense of old. So I don't know if they'll be able – they haven't been able to stop the run that great. And then you got Arkansas coming into town with Sam Pittman, who's going to run the ball. Like, he's going to try to run the ball first. So if they have success doing that, which they have with that stable in the backfield that they have, it could be closer than 20.5 and in favor of Arkansas, in my opinion. But yeah, man, KJ Jefferson, Treylon Burks, they got a lot of weapons out there for, you know, that Alabama defense to worry about, and as well as the running game. I just mentioned KJ Jefferson can tote the rock too.
Yeah.
And again, I think we talked about it. We've alluded to it in the past. If you're playing an Alabama team, success comes with quarterbacks that can move. But we saw this year Zach Calzada beat him. So, I mean, we talked about this, and I love Sam Pittman. I love Arkansas. I think the key to this game for Arkansas is probably on the defensive end. It's probably going to be holding Corral and Bryce Young, getting to him and seeing if you can make him make mistakes, which a lot of folks haven't been able to do. But, a lot's on his shoulders, dude. A lot's on his shoulders for sure.
And he is the favorite right now for the Heisman Trophy. And we were talking before, deservedly so, not because, you know, maybe he's had, the greatest seat in terms of, in recent memory of quarterbacks out there that just jumps off the page, but they've asked him to do so much, you know, and he's in Alabama. He's really carried Alabama at certain points because there's been certain points where Alabama's run game has been, you know, non-existent. And, 6 yards rushing against LSU, and Bryce Young still does his thing to get them, you know, 20 points, and the defense was just good enough to take things. But I think what the concern for Alabama fans going into this one, right, is, okay, how does the offensive line, you know, hold up after they had, you know, last year they had Landon Dickerson, they had Alex Leatherwood over there, and, you know, all these kind of high-profile guys. Of course, Evan Neal is still there, and he grades out well each week, you know, at left tackle. But those other four spots, TK, struggling a little bit right now. And Alabama needs to, not just for this game, But for going forward, especially if they're going to face Georgia in the SEC championship game, they're going to need balance, right? They're going to have to, because you can't be one dimensional against that Georgia team or even a Ohio State or somebody like that, for that matter. You have to have balance, right?
Yeah, and we try to make you one dimensional.
Yeah, no doubt. So, and Georgia will gladly allow somebody to do that. But with Alabama and Arkansas this week, you know, bumper pull, you know, Hayden Henry, all those linebackers there at Arkansas, they're going to be flying around. They're going to be coming downhill. So here's the deal. You got Brian Robinson Jr., who has been, you know, toting the rock, getting the bulk of the carries for Alabama. They only have him and Trey Sanders left at running back, because, you know, they're down a couple of running backs here in terms of, you know, scholarship running backs. They've had to move over, you know, move a receiver over to running back. They've had to move a linebacker over to running back just to have, you know, backup options and things of that nature, just in case. But, you know, they're going to have to load up Brian Robinson out here over the next 2 weeks against Arkansas and against Auburn. And again, just kind of forward thinking a little bit. I know this is the Arkansas and Alabama preview, but forward thinking to the SEC championship, you know, tired legs going into that one could be an issue. But, you know, I still expect Alabama to come in and hit some big plays over the top, because, you know, look at this defense with Arkansas, the 3-2-6, you know, defense. We know that when you play that three-man front, it is going to allow them to probably to run the ball a little bit better, even though Alabama's been struggling to do so. You know, we're going to see. But, you know, I think having guys like Jace McClellan out for the year and Roydell Williams out for the year at running back is going to end up hurting. You know, of course, Kamar Wheaton's not been able to play this year due to a meniscus injury that he had. So, you know, really three scholarship running backs that they were counting on coming this year, not there. So Alabama's going to have to find ways to be consistent in the run game in order to definitely cover this spread. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't either, man. And you talking about this just brought something to my attention. We talking about the run game. Bro, they might blitz the hell out of him.
Yeah.
When those other backs are in the game. Pass protection is probably the hardest thing I think a running back does. They might heat him up. They might heat Bryce Young up when those young backs, those inexperienced backs are in the game, just to disrupt the passing game. It's interesting, bro. A lot. You know, Brian Robinson coming down the stretch needs to be healthy. So you wonder how many totes he's going to get. So, I mean, it's interesting, dude. It's going to be a fun game to watch. That's probably why it's a 3:30 game of the week.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Alabama has, and you're talking about their offensive line play. They've got Chris Owens, a 6-year senior starting, but he's got according to PFF, he's got a 45.9 pass block grade. He's allowed 29 pressures this year on pass blocks. And then Javion Cohen and Emil Ikior, they've both have 14 apiece, you know, in terms of quarterback pressures allowed. So that's why Bryce Young has had to start incorporating a little bit more. He's sliding out of that pocket, TK, and he's starting to, you know, he didn't want to be known as a running quarterback, right? And I think, you know, when Tennessee was all up on that tail of there in Tuscaloosa, and they had the moment from the Titanic when Rose and I don't remember what my man, the guy that Jack and Rose are nose to nose there before he, you know, slips off and dies in the water. It looked like Saban and Bryce Young were having that kind of moment. They were like face to face. I think Saban was like, "Listen, son, our offensive line's terrible. Okay, you're gonna have to run a little bit. We're gonna have to get you to move." So, you know, it was an interesting moment over there. But I don't know. I think you're right with Arkansas having a lot of weapons and experience. And you know, now, you know, Arkansas they're playing with house money, right? Nobody thought they were gonna win 7 games coming into this year. And you know, as Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. So that could work two ways for Arkansas. they were riding high going into Athens, you know, back when they were in the top 10, and they got punched in the mouth over there and didn't know how to handle it with that environment and things like that. Well, TK, I'm sure it's going to be a rocking environment when they go to Tuscaloosa on Saturday, but have they learned from that previous experience, and will they be able to handle it better?
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely learned. They've shown that they've learned. Again, we talk about this as a team that's taken on the character of their coach. I think this team is poised and ready and could potentially upset this Alabama team in Tuscaloosa, man.
Well, put it on tape then, DK. What's the score?
I'm gonna go ahead and give you the score prediction of Arkansas 21, Bama 17.
Man, if Alabama gets held to 17 points, I think literally half the state's head will pop off over there at Alabama. I mean, there will be a call for some major stuff over there. I think with, you know, this being a game that, you know, Arkansas has you know, had some issues in the past with an Ole Miss team that's been able to put up some points. I don't think the Alabama offense is as explosive as Ole Miss, but I do think they scored a little bit more than that. I'm going to take the Crimson Tide still to win this game, just simply because I think Bryce Young's so nice with it right now, and he's able to manufacture enough.
You just talked about three linemen having a 49.
Yeah, listen, I know they're struggling, but I think what is going to happen is, you know, they're going to have some pressures allowed. And, you know, I think, like you said, I think Arkansas will heat him up, but I think that could work to their detriment just a little bit, because I see Bryce Young being able to replace it. And then here comes, you know, a little quick slant from Mechie and he's gone to the house, or Jameson Williams. We've seen it too many times with Alabama, you know, to think. So I'm going to say they end up getting it done, but I don't think they cover on this thing. I'm going to say, you know, Alabama is in a ball game here in the first half, maybe into the third quarter, much like that Tennessee game. And then they end up winning. I'm going to give them a victory here. I'm going to say Alabama wins 34-24 over Arkansas. I'm going to give a 10-point victory to the Tide, but definitely not covering the 20.5. And I'm going to be on the 34-24. I'm going to be even right there with the over under. So you know, I'm going to take a push on the over under there. So 34-24, we're going to split on that one.
Hey, how many points LSU let Bama score on them?
Only 20. So you're right.
LSU defense better than Arkansas defense?
No, I think Arkansas is playing better as a team right now in terms of. Yeah. So you could be. Listen, TK was right last week on Ole Miss. He had the Lane Train taking on Texas A&M. So hey, it's okay for us to differ on this show a little bit. He's going on a low scoring game and taking the Razorbacks to upset and win outright. I'm taking Alabama to win, but the Razorbacks to cover. So that is definitely an interesting one on 3:30 CBS. Then TK, you know, next up will be starting at 4:00 is the, you know, I like to call these games kind of similar to the toilet bowl, right? These games are, both teams are 5-5. You've got the Florida Gators who, if anybody said, you know, hey, Florida's going to be 5-5 coming into this point in the year, I think people would have thought Dan Mullen would have long been gone already. Like, you know, I just, with all the debacle they had last year of the team quitting on him going into the bowl game, basically, and just not showing up. And then him, the time after time, TK, where he seems to put his foot in his mouth, you know, in these press conferences and just say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Very interesting here, but you got the Florida Gators 8.5-point favorites at Missouri on the road in Columbia there, over under of 69, and it is on the SEC network at 4:00. So TK, just first initial thoughts of the Gators traveling to the Tigers over there in Missouri.
Man, if they don't get this thing, we keep talking about it, but if they don't get this thing figured out fast, Dan Mullen's out of there. But, you know, UF It's funny, bro. You said you know they quit on them, and that's kind of a common theme. It looks like that this team is kind of just rolling over and kind of waiting on next year, waiting on something else to happen. So it's a little I don't know what's going on down there in Florida, but those kids still do have something to play for on both sides of this thing, Florida and Missouri, 5-5. I think one more game gets you bowl eligible.
Yeah, so, they're playing for a bowl game right now.
Yeah, so I mean, you come to school to play football, and you come to school to play in game, big game. So bowl games are fun to be in. So I think that this game has some implications for the players and the staff.
It definitely got some implications for that Florida staff, TK.
Yeah, 100% for the staff, but like just for the players, from the standpoint of a player, you wanna go to a bowl game. You wanna obviously get the bowl gifts, get that experience, and play another game, bro. So I think that this game is bigger than obviously we are saying it is for both schools. But man, I think Florida, I don't know if they can handle Tyler Beatty and that
run. Tyler Beatty, man, is
they hadn't been able to stop the run, fam. Like
everybody, yeah, even Samford put up 114. Now they did give up 416 yards passing to Samford. So Connor Bazelak's probably coming into this one licking his chops a little bit too against that Florida defense.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, everything's open. I mean, there's holes up front. There's holes in the secondary. So, I mean, and again, laying down and just not caring. Maybe, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on there. But you definitely see that there's some things that's happening from a player and coach perspective that needs to be ironed out.
Well, there's a mentality, right, when you come into these teams. And at that mentality, as you know, TK, it starts from the head man and comes down. You don't have to be a fire and brimstone, you know, just absolute get out, because you played under Mark Richt and he was nowhere near the same kind of personality,
super reserved,
mentality that Kirby Smart is. But I think Mark Richt still had a certain intensity about him and demanded that respect, and people wanted to play for him because he was still able to motivate. Dan Mullen has a problem motivating players right now. And I don't know if his wife's, stopped kissing people when they come off the bus. If that's the problem, I don't know what's going on here. But, when it comes down to it, you've got a team that is floundering right now, even though the only player that is out there, just putting his guts on the line, it seems like, is Emory Jones. That man's out there doing everything he can do. He had 550 yards of offense in that game, set a Florida record against Samford. So, he had to go out there and hang a 70 piece on those boys, the little Baptist school from Birmingham last week, in order for the Gators to get a win. But, we'll see. I think your point was excellent there with Tyler Beatty, having, he rushed for over 200 yards, I believe, against South Carolina last week. They had 258 as a team against South Carolina, and Tyler Beatty was a large part of that. So I'm sure they're going to want to control the clock up there, keep that. I mean, we have to say this from a strategy standpoint in this game, the Florida offense obviously is their strength here, after putting up 70 last week, but giving up 52 to Samford. So I think that, Missouri may want to be like, okay, we may have an opportunity to hit some big plays and score quick here, but they may want to, take the approach of slow it down a little bit and grind that clock out, because you can see, with Tyler Beatty, he had 209 yards rushing last week against South Carolina. And let's be honest, TK, this is a Missouri team that just beat South Carolina 31-28, and South Carolina the week before blew Florida's doors off. So that 8.5-point line is a little much for me on the road for the Florida Gators with the lack of motivation they have. I'm going to go ahead and throw my score out here. I think Missouri definitely covers that spread, and I think they win this game. that 69-point over-under, I think that gets blown past my man. Florida scored 70 themselves last week. So I'm going to definitely take the over. I'm going to take Missouri to cover, and I'm going to take Missouri to win outright on the road. I'm going to say Missouri wins this game. I'm going to say they put up a lot of points, too, with Tyler Beatty in there, but I think they do slow down the pace enough where it won't be as big. I'm going to say Missouri wins this game 45-41 over Florida.
I like that. I like it a lot. I like Mizzou to win the game as well. And this is why, man. Like you said, if they get up on Florida, two touchdowns, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. They're going to do exactly what you said. They're going to slow the game down, put it in Beatty's hands, and let him go to work and hope. And if he can hold on to it, it's going to be all good. But I agree, man. I think Mizzou pulls away with this one. I think they're a little too much for Florida at home. It might be a tight one, but I'm taking Mizzou 38-31.
I mean, you just know those Florida players. They're hearing the whispers. They know that all their coaches could be gone. You got guys contemplating getting into the portal and stuff like that. It would just be I will greatly apologize if this Florida staff's able to pull those guys together and get some kind of rallying experience from all those guys.
And look, I don't wish that on nobody. I hope they do. I hope they have success.
But it doesn't look like it.
Yeah, down the straight. I mean, I really hope they do.
Your guy Christian Robinson over there trying to hold on to a gig over there. So
yeah. I mean, it's people's real life. So I mean, I hope they get it together. I hope they get it figured out. So 100%.
Yeah. So we're just saying that it seems to me like this Florida team has given up, and that may be the worst thing ever when you say that in terms of players maybe giving up on the coaches. So we'll see what kind of effort comes out of this one on the behalf of the Florida Gators, but TK and I are both taking Missouri. Now, TK, we have the nightcap game that we're going to be talking about. Auburn, 7.5-point favorites on the road against the South Carolina Gamecocks. And for the first time, in a long time, doing it without Mr. Bo Nix, Lamar Jackson Jr., you like to call him. He went down with that broken ankle and is going to be done. His time at Auburn's likely done. You probably have Bo, going to the NFL draft this upcoming spring. So now it's TJ Finley time there. And we've seen him, a little bit against LSU earlier this year, saw the heroics that he had against Georgia State. He's definitely a guy who can still be mobile. He's a big quarterback and has a really strong arm. It's just, the knock on TJ Finley has been, okay, can he deliver the ball where he needs to deliver it, when he needs to deliver it, right? It's not the physical skills. It's just, how does he operate the offense and how accurate can he be? So what are your thoughts with TJ Finley taking over for Auburn heading into a South Carolina team that, is kind of Jekyll and Hyde right now? They beat Florida 2 weeks ago, lose to Missouri last week. So what do you think for this game? It's a, like I said, Auburn 7.5-point favorites, over under 45.5, 7 o'clock on ESPN.
Yeah. Man, the thing is, like you said, you never know what you're going to get from this South Carolina team. Although they've definitely gotten better and better. I think TJ Finley is a cat that played in this league, played in hostile environments before, obviously, and has had success in those hostile environments. Again, the knock on him is decision making. But, hopefully he's – when you sit over there, bro, when you sit on that sideline and you watch, a lot of times you learn. You learn from people's mistakes.
He's hungry to play. He's hungry to play.
Yeah, man. He wants to play. So this is an opportunity for him to go out there and prove to not just himself, to everybody that, shit, I'm still the guy. I'm still that dude. So I look for him to do that. And guys were emerging last week for Bo Nix, Kobe Hudson, guys were emerging out wide. And it's not like he didn't have pieces around him to help him make things easier, for him against this South Carolina team. But that D front, those DNs on that South Carolina team are nice.
They're, oh yeah, South Carolina's got some guys that are starting to, you know, that we talked about Florida not showing effort. Well, I think the effort is consistently there with South Carolina. Those guys are playing for Shane Beamer. Yeah. It's just the execution at this point in time. And, you know, South Carolina, you know, it's been interesting. They keep finding quarterbacks, you know, that they, you know, it's like they go to the grocery store and see a guy and say, hey, can you play quarterback this week? And that, you know, he'll come over there because they're literally bringing GAs over there. They're bringing guys that are, you know, from St. Francis over there playing quarterback, pulling them out for the first game. So it's interesting to see this South Carolina dynamic. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to Shane Beamer and his staff and kind of what they've done the first year here in South Carolina. Because TK, you know, we talk about not all records, not all teams and stuff are created equal. I think, you know, when you talk about Florida and Missouri, they're probably disappointed with their 5-5 records right now. But if you told South Carolina coming into game 11, they were going to have a chance to secure a bowl game, I think they would have been ecstatic coming into this year.
100%. 100%. If you would have told Shane Beamer and staff that they look at this date, that they would have an opportunity to go to a bowl game, they probably would have took it.
They'd be like, we're taking that. And TK, you know, they're playing well enough right now, and people around the country are playing well. I think they're doing well enough right now that when the Virginia Tech job just came open, where Frank Beamer, Shane's daddy, was a legend at, he had to answer the question at the press conference, are you interested in the Virginia Tech job? You know, so, and he shut that down and said, no, this is where I want my kids to graduate from high school. We love the city of Columbia. We love the state of South Carolina. So that's, you know, that's a flattering thing as a coach when you got people, you know, asking that question. Obviously you don't like answering the question, but at the same time, you do like answering the question because your agent probably gets on the phone and say, hey, did you hear that question they just asked my man in the press conference? We need to, you know, I may put a little filler out there. We need to bump up that pay a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
bump up that pay. And it strokes that ego a little bit too. So
absolutely. It's always good to be wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
So we'll see how. I think the biggest thing here is Jason Brown, right? The new, you know, quarterback that's now taken over for South Carolina over these last two games. He was, you know, great against Florida, and you know, he's got to prevent from turning the ball over. This week he turned the ball over against Missouri through an interception there. He's at 56.8%. pass completion right now. I think he's going to get, you know, be able to more accurately distribute the football.
Yeah, my guy, Bright. He was Kurt Warnering last week.
No doubt. He was pulling out, you know, from, you know, just crazy stuff coming out of nowhere. But I agree, you know, he's got to be able to distribute the football. He's got weapons out there like Josh Van, who can make plays in this game. Of course, Auburn is, you know, good on the back end with Roger McCreary and Smoke Monday back there. So I think this over under being 45.5, Vegas knows this is going to be a game that points are going to be tough to come by, TK. But with Auburn being a 7.5-point favorite, TJ Finley versus that South Carolina defense and Jason Brown versus Auburn's defense, what's your score prediction? Who do you think wins, covers, all that good stuff?
Score prediction, I'm taking Auburn to get it done just because I think they're a little bit stronger. I think they've got a few more pieces.
Tank Bigsby, Jarquez Hunter.
Yeah, Tank, Jarquez in the backfield. So they got pieces, and players play the game. I know Shane Beamer. I know that's a great story. I know it's awesome what he's been able to do for that program in such a short time. But when it comes down to it, players got to play, and I think that Auburn has more players than they have in the skill position. So I think they just get it done. I think they get it done 24-17.
So you're taking them to cover, and you're not taking the over right there. So it's going to be under 24-17. TK takes Auburn to cover and has the under. I think it's going to be a similar thing, a hard-fought battle. I like South Carolina to cover, but I like Auburn to win. I just think this is going to be more of an ugly game. I think you'll probably see some inaccuracy from T.J. Finley, maybe some struggles. They may turn the ball over once or twice. Like, as you know, there's some South Carolina guys on that defense now that when it comes to, Kingsley and Abre, Zach Pickens that can get after the quarterback, I think they'll get to T.J. Finley a couple of times. And maybe even force a strip sack, something like that. So look for South Carolina to have a short field every once in a while, help Jason Brown out there. So I'm going to take Auburn to win the game, but I think it's going to be a low scoring game. And I think South Carolina covers. I'm going to take Auburn to win this one. I'm going to take them all to win 27-21. I know, you know, that's low scoring in today's time, so I am technically taking the over, but 27-21 there. I'm going to take Auburn over South Carolina. And TK, that's our show for this week, where we're previewing some of these games. It'll be interesting to see what happens outside the SEC as well. You got Michigan State, Mel Tucker traveling to Ohio State. So you got number 7, the Spartans, versus number 4, Ohio State. So it'll be interesting. It's going to start everything's going to kind of start shaking out with that national picture. And depending on what Alabama does, it'll be real interesting heading into that SEC championship game in a couple weeks.
Yeah, 100%. We got a little bit of football left to play before we get here. But, again, we almost there, man. It's an exciting time. Got some things shaking that could be shaken up towards the end of this regular season. So I'm excited to finish out the season.
No doubt. And this is, like I said, this is the Second to None podcast. You can follow us on Twitter using and do this, guys, because we may send you some giveaways and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, leave us a 5-star review. Follow on Twitter using @SEC2, _none on Twitter. This show is presented to you by Bet Online. For Tavarius King, I am Blaine Gilmer, and we will catch you next time on the Second to None podcast.